This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Roll into hour number three. It's Barton Hahn. Harry Douglas hanging with us today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And hour number three is brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Harry, I know you've been waiting for this. I know you get excited for this when you fill in on this show. Everybody knows when it's hour number three, tell the people what that means.
It's the Power Hour!
That was impressive.
Appreciate it.
That was really good. They needed also some of like they needed some of the horns too with it, right? In the club, like you get that. Yeah. Like we needed some of that too, DJ.
Yeah.
But that was very good. Power
Appreciate
hour
that,
indeed.
My man.
Yeah. 888-CESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We certainly will get back to your calls. Keep them racked up. Bobby Marks going to join us in about 10 minutes, and we'll get more into the Donovan Mitchell trade situation now that R.J. Barrett is signed to an extension with the Knicks, how that might change things, what a deal could look like going forward. So we'll get all that insight coming up in just a few. But last night in New York City, Harry Douglas, there was this feeling of maybe we've got some history. Like maybe like, you know, we're going to witness something because we, you know, we're always about the greats of a sport. And whenever you know this could be the last time we see this great in the venue, right? In the moment, you got to tune in. So on ESPN last night, you have the opening round of the U.S. Open. And on Arthur Ashe Stadium, on main court Arthur Ashe Stadium, there was Serena Williams. And I was dialed in. I was locked in. I said, no, I got to watch this. And it felt big time. It felt special. And in the beginning, it felt kind of concerning because she didn't play great. And you had that, you know, okay, this is probably why she's retiring. Like, it just doesn't she can't reach back and find it like she used to. And we've seen that from all the greats. But what we've also seen from the greats, you know, Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, like, we've seen these last moments that are sort of that, hey, don't forget, this is what I was. And we started seeing it as that match went on last night. And Danka Kovacic, who I thought was in the beginning, given it all she had, missed one shot that hit the tape. I mean, barely hit the baseline. And it turned everything. She kind of got rattled. And Serena just, you know, again, blood in the water. Okay. And all of a sudden, that old Serena came out. And I don't mean the old Serena who's going to turn 41 next month. I mean the old Serena, meaning the young Serena, where, you know, the serve started coming and her returns, and you just were like, okay, there it is. There's Serena. And it was fun.
And what you've seen, I love the simple fact that, like, the crowd gave her the energy that she needed.
Love
right?
It.
And the serve that we're so accustomed to seeing and that's, has been so dominant for so long took over. Because, I mean, like the broadcast said, Serena doesn't really want to get into a back and forth constantly over and over again on a consistent basis. Because of the age, and she might not be what she once was.
Right.
But that confidence of her, and I think her daughter being there, who's so beautiful with her husband and whatnot, that was phenomenal. Then you had the people at the end showing the "We love Serena" in the seats. You had was it Gladys Knight or Aretha Franklin? Somebody was in the stands. I can't remember which one it was.
I think it was Gladys Knight.
Yeah, you see Spike Lee there.
Yep.
You see LeBron tweeting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the world embracing a lady like Serena. But I got to tell Serena thank you because I have a daughter that's 6 years old. And, you know, at one point when I was growing up, not many young black girls had, you know, visual celebrities and people that they can look up to.
Heroes.
Say, I aspire to be this person one day versus just saying it and not seeing it. Serena has provided an avenue for so many young black girls, man, to want to get into tennis and actually want to be like her. So thank you, Serena, for all your time and allowing us to be on this journey with you. Because I'll be honest with you, hon, I got into tennis because of Serena. No one else.
Okay.
Now, I glanced at it. I used to watch Pete Sampras, you know, Andre Agassi. Mm-hmm. I glanced at it, but I got into it because of Serena and her story and her sister. The family has a movie about them. I think that's one of the
King Richard
things.
Is a fantastic yes. movie, by the way. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, it's definitely worth your time, and especially if you're a parent of athletes, and you know you always wonder, am I pushing them too hard? Am I doing? I'm telling you, this is a movie. It's phenomenal. It really is a good movie. But so the match was the match. She won 6-3, 6-3. She advances. She'll play tomorrow, and tomorrow's a little different. Because it's Konave is number two in the world. Like, so now all of a sudden it's real. So you had to feel like it's the U.S. Open. It's always going to be glitz, glamour. It's always going to be big stage. I mean, the U.S. Open is the closest thing to playing at the Garden that there is in New York, right? It's something special about, you know, that stadium, that court, Billie Jean King court, and just the venue. And then afterwards, they did. It felt like a farewell. And it's like, wait, she's still going to play. Now, you want to do this Wednesday. That's fine. But before I get to that, though, let's just hear from Serena and just about being there in the Pac Stadium in the first round. And as you mentioned, just how the crowd was behind every single move she made.
I was just thinking, like, is this for real, really? And at the same time, I'm also thinking, you know, I still have a match to play, and I want to be able to play up to this reception almost. And it was so loud, and I just was overwhelmed in a good way. And but at the same time, it's like you have to be focused, and you have to be laser focused, and that's what I needed to do, and that's what I tried to do.
And then ride the emotion, which is a big part of tennis, especially in big venues like that. All the majors, it's just something that a lot of the players will talk about. I mean, none more famously than Jimmy Connors all those years ago in that same place where there he was late in his career and somehow made this amazing run to the semifinals, just all based on the fact that the crowd just fell in love with him. A guy that used to be the bad guy. All of a sudden, everybody was just in love with just how hard he was playing and, you know, was just seeing a classic player make a run. So that's what we saw last night. We saw a celebration of an all-time great and one of the great athletes of her generation, of certainly probably the greatest athlete of her sport. But Harry, I mean, do we need Gail King from CBS out there after this thing? Do we need this?
Well, can Gail let her finish her answers? Can Gail let her finish answering the questions that she asked her? Because I was getting irritated at some point.
Well, I looked at this like, she won? What are we doing? Like, can't we just say, like, couldn't we just say, all right, let's come back Wednesday and do this? Like, what are you going to do if she loses on tomorrow night? If she loses tomorrow night, what do we do that whole thing again? I understand. She definitely deserves to be celebrated. But can we let her lose? How about we wait till it's over?
Look, here's
that
the thing,
was
though.
It was too much. We're showing the video. We have all these different presentations. I mean, the whole thing, the thing that Oprah did, it was all wonderful. But as I'm going, did she just win? She just won. She's not done yet. Why are we doing this now? We didn't need this.
Did they think
just
Serena
wait
was going to
tomorrow,
lose?
Maybe. Well, of course
Serena
they were prepared. No, look, be prepared. She has not played well, right? She has not played well. I just, to me, it was, Harry, like I said, it was one of those things. I'm watching it thinking, well, what are you going to do Wednesday now that you just did all this?
Yeah.
What do we do Wednesday? Like, this, I didn't understand.
They're going to have to contact Obama. He's going to have to come out and talk.
I mean, you're going to need to get everybody out now, right? Like, fly in LeBron. Let's go. Like, it felt weird. That was the only part that I didn't like. The rest of it was great. What are you upset about?
I was supposed to go to the U.S. Open this year, but my schedule didn't allow me to. I was supposed to go.
Who you blaming? There's somebody at fault here. There's always somebody at fault.
No. I mean, I have to work, and I understand my responsibilities first, but that's the reason why I couldn't go. And I passed it up last year. I was supposed to go watch Naomi Osaka play last year, and I stayed in my hotel room to prepare for first take instead.
That's you, though, always preparing. Yes. So you're all right. Let me get this straight. You knew you were coming on this show today.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, I would have gone last night, but you guys called me. I had to work this show. So it's our fault. You're blaming
No. Because I leave tonight because I'm traveling for game day. So we have a show Thursday and Saturday. So my travel schedule just didn't work out with it either. Plus, I just got home. I need to be home with my kids for at least 2 or 3 days before I leave.
That part I'll never disagree with you on. But again, so Serena wins, so she advances. Big celebration of a great career, and we get to watch her play maybe even one more time. It's just what happened afterwards, of course, was kind of weird. Anyways, as I mentioned, Bobby Marks going to join us here in just a few seconds. We've got to dive deeper into what it all means now that the Knicks have signed RJ Barrett to a contract extension, therefore kind of taking him off the table in a pursuit of Donovan Mitchell. Before we do that, though, Harry, tell us about Body Armor.
This football season, Body Armor is the choice for hardworking hydration. Whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you at the top of your game with potassium, packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Buy any one Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 DraftKings gift card. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, Harry Douglas in with us. And Harry, we're getting many tweets about your introduction to the Power Hour.
Are they good ones?
Steve B., Power Hour, say it with your chest. He loved it. Jonathan,
yes.
Power Hour, that Power Hour was intense.
Yes.
Michelle, that was awesome. That's the way to start the Power Hour. I mean, this is you're bringing it. That's what we like.
I love you, Michelle.
So who else brings it? Let me bring him on. That's Bobby Marks. He joins us right now, our ESPN NBA front office insider. Bobby, how are we doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
All right. So can you then just give me an idea of what it all means to you in your experience of what the Knicks decided to do last night, which is, again, by reports from Adrian Wojnarowski, that they will now take RJ Barrett off the trade table when it comes to a deal for Donovan Mitchell by signing him to a 4-year extension worth up to $120 million.
Yeah, I mean, the extension, it's $107 million, and there's another $13 million in bonuses that are included there. That gets you to the $120. He's got this poison pill restriction that's in his contract. He could still be traded. It just complicates a lot more as far as how much you have to add or how much you have to take out. You basically would have to find a third team if you're going to include a player like Evan Fournier, or if you're not going to add a third team, it would have to be Barrett and basically all your young players here to try to make the money work here. And I thought from Utah's interest in Barrett, it wasn't about trading for him and then signing him to an extension. I think it was more about trading for him and then flipping him, in another deal down the road for additional draft picks here. And I think if you're Utah now and that now he signs this extension, I don't think it's very appealing for you to take on a player that's got, 4 years, up to $120 million here. So if you're New York, you still have the resources and you got up to 8 draft picks. You've got all these young players. You've got the money to make it work with, whether it be Fournier or probably unlikely Derrick Rose here. So I just think it changes a little bit as far as the parameters, as far as who the players are now, as far as, in a deal. I think, we can probably take RJ Barrett off the table. And now you're probably Quentin Grimes and Emmanuel Quickly are probably your two central, players to kind of spotlight here.
Now, Bobby, I got to ask you, when you mentioned that third team, who are likely some teams that could possibly be in this with Utah and the New York Knicks?
Yeah, I think when you look at, if there's not an appetite for Evan Fournier, who's got 3 years left on his contract, his third is a team option, he's owed $18 million this year, then you're looking at certainly teams like Indiana, who's got cap space. San Antonio's got cap space. Maybe it's a team like Detroit that's got some expiring contracts here. And I think what happens is if it's, by sending, a player like Fournier somewhere else besides Utah, then you are getting less draft picks if you're the Jazz. Maybe a Dallas first goes to another team here. So I think that's where it kind of expands more. If you are looking to try to get a third, a third team here, I think certainly the Lakers will be interesting as far as if they have interest here. We're certainly going to be talking about Westbrook up into training camp. They still have those two number ones. Besides Donovan Mitchell, I think certainly keep an eye on Bojan Bogdanovic and Mike Conley, Rudy Gay, some of those veteran players that probably don't fit that timeline there.
Could you imagine, too, as we're talking with Bobby Marks, could you imagine a scenario where if you get the Lakers involved, and I know you'd be giving it, like you mentioned Bogdanovic, maybe even Conley, but it's Donovan Mitchell as the centerpiece of this. And in return, if the Knicks put five in the deal and the Lakers put two in the deal, you could come away with seven first-round picks in a deal like that. I mean, is that a scenario that you think could be realistic?
I do. I mean, I think it all depends on, from the Lakers' perspective, they've got those two picks in 27 and in 29. They could be unprotected. You could put protection on it. And are those the two players that you feel can get you into that top four? Two really good players there with Conley and Bogdanovic here. And then you add what they got in the Gobert trade where it's, four ones. Mm-hmm. They would probably surpass Oklahoma City as far as what they have with draft assets here. So I think for New York, if it was going to be Barrett and Grimes, let's say, then it was probably going to be less draft picks. It was probably going to be two first round picks or maybe three. Now you take Barrett off the table here. Now it's really your younger players. Now you're probably looking at probably four or five, first round picks to get a deal done.
And I'm wondering too, Bobby, again, from your experience in a front office, like I know it looks, I think on the surface, and I know the reporting by Woj here, it's like, the Knicks gave a deadline and said, okay, if not, we're taking him off the table, we're signing him, and we're keeping him, right? Is that a scenario where you've seen played out where it's like, we know you really want the picks more than you want this player, right? Like in the end, the Knicks were willing to give up R.J. Barrett only if it meant they kept all these draft picks. But it wasn't going to be both, right? Like, it never was going to be both. It was going to be one or the other. And the Jazz essentially let the Knicks off the hook by saying, we'd rather have the picks than the player.
Yeah, I didn't see a scenario where it was going to be Barrett and Grimes or one of the two and then six first-round picks. Like, right. I just didn't. It was basically going to be one or the other. And when you take one of those guys off the board, then the picks increase here. Or if you include one of those players, now the picks decrease here. So, I think for Utah, I thought that, the Barrett part was more about another deal down the road where maybe if you were getting two or three first round picks, then you flip him for two more and now you get up to five here. So I think Utah is interesting just because I don't see much leverage there as far as what they have. They certainly the hold that he's got, 4 years left on his contract, the fourth year's a player option here, but I don't see another team out there that can offer what New York has as far as with the draft picks and the younger players.
Do you worry if you're sorry, Harry, I know I'm probably dominating this, but for obvious reasons, I need information. do you worry about starting training camp and he suddenly has to come back to Salt Lake City and be there? And obviously the media coverage will be what it is. Is that a factor in this? Does it give you a bit of a soft deadline that you kind of want to get something done before training camp? If you're the Jets,
I think I only worry about it if he asks, in the next 3 weeks, goes to the front office and asks to be traded. And we haven't heard that quite yet, but I think the writing's on the wall. I mean, he looks at this roster and it's not the roster that he signed this extension with in 2020. So I'm not as concerned. I think, unless it's a disruption, which I don't think it's going to be the case here. So I do think if you're Utah, you do want to get something done. I think if you're New York, you want to get something done just so you can walk into training camp, kind of know what your roster is.
Now, I got to ask you this. Just let's say hypothetically this deal gets done and you have the backcourt and Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell. A lot of Knicks fans, they're concerned about the size difference. Do you see that being an issue with this team moving forward with having two guys of the height of Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson in the backcourt together?
Yeah, I mean, it is a small backcourt. I mean, Mitchell's 6'1", and I guess Brunson's 6 foot here. So it's probably one of the smaller backcourts in the NBA. I think, Harry, the big thing is it will be what's left, right? I think that what's left of the roster, and I think that's where teams kind of get into trouble. So we, that RJ Barrett's going to be here. You know that that Julius Randle's going to be here. You know that Mitchell Robinson's going to be here. It's more about kind of like what's the depth of this roster and who goes, if it's Toppin or Quickly or Grimes. That's going to be that's probably a little bit more of a concern for me than certainly what, you know, the size of that backcourt.
Yeah, it's the idea of don't completely just scour the whole the depth of this team and then leave as you're just very top heavy. That's also probably a big concern in this whole thing. We'll see if this gets done. It's definitely going to cost a lot of picks. It's probably going to be one where it's like he's not worth all those picks. But as Harry always says, yesterday's price
is not today's price.
That is how it works. Bobby, thanks so much, man. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider. Harry, you know me. Like, I've got the million questions. Like, I do that, and I go rapid fire.
Oh, you're
and
fine.
I didn't mean to cut off, but
you're fine.
That was one. Like, I thought, you know, that the training camp thing is still a month away, but it's got. If you're the Jazz, if you're Danny Ainge and company, like Zanuck, like, do you really want? You got a rookie coach. Do you really want that drama hanging over the franchise now? And as Bobby said, if you're Donovan Mitchell, like, I signed that extension, yes. But I didn't sign to play with this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not what we were talking about. So, you know, I just have a feeling if something's going to get, it's got to get done before training camp. And we'll see certainly if it will. But it will be a lot of picks. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 as we continue taking your calls. And also, speaking of contracts, in the NFL, we got some contract drama with a player who everybody agrees needs to get paid. But is he getting offered what everybody would agree is a reasonable offer? He went to social media to discuss, and we will share that with you next. It's Bart and Hahn and Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
I feel that bass in my ears. I like it. It's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas in with you today, ESPN Radio. The ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 as well. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, here to help you score big savings. To see how much you can save on auto insurance, visit Progressive.com. We're talking contracts here, Harry Douglas. We're talking about 2 weeks from the start of the NFL season, and that gives us a self-imposed deadline for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to get a deal done.
Mm-hmm.
As far as an extension for him, he is set already to get $23 million this season, his fifth year of his rookie option. But he decided, he has said, that's it. He is week one, once the season starts, he said, I'm done. And there's a lot of us that are like, why would you do that? But he, you know, wants to just focus on that. So anyways, a couple of things that he did on social media, because the one thing, Harry, that I have marveled at and I actually have been impressed with is that neither Lamar nor the Ravens have done the thing that we tend to see in these situations. Source close to Lamar says this, right? Or you get the stuff from the team that explains, like, here's what they're offering, and he's turning this down. And then the fans go, that's a lot of money. How are you turning that down? You know, they go against him. They say he's being selfish or whatever. Like, that can happen and cause some issues. I think both sides have handled this up until now the right way, which shows that, like, that they have a good relationship. But now Lamar's going to social media, where you had a fan say something about how the Ravens on Twitter, the Ravens already offered him $250 million and he turned it down, and Lamar responded, no, they didn't. And then also hit like on a photo of him in a Dolphins jersey.
Ooh.
Now, why are we doing this?
Because he's from South Florida.
I understand, but why are we doing this?
Hey, applying pressure. You know, sometimes if you apply pressure, something has to give. And to me, for Lamar, I understand the cutoff date, right? Because here's what I would do if I'm Lamar Jackson. First of all, I wouldn't have went out on the football field at all. That's the first thing I wouldn't have done. But he did.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till the first week of the first game. And then on that, like, Friday, when we getting ready for the game, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and sit this one out, you know, till I get my money.
See,
I'm going to make the Ravens go in panic mode.
Yeah.
Now, they believe in Tyler Huntley, who's their backup quarterback, but he's not Lamar Jackson.
Played well.
We've seen that last year.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah, of course.
But he's not Lamar Jackson. Trust me. But Lamar Jackson, from his standpoint, if they're offering him – anywhere between $210, $215 million. And I have been the guy in the past that said he shouldn't take a penny less than Deshaun Watson, but let me retract that statement. If you're offering me $210, $215 million guaranteed, I'm taking it.
This is where now we need more information, right? Because it's very difficult to have an opinion. Or at least, I mean, it's not difficult to have an opinion because you could just sound off and rip on anything and, you know, just claim ignorance later. Well, we didn't know this. But really being responsible, we don't. We don't know. We don't know. All we know now from what Lamar just tweeted is, okay, so the 230 that Deshaun Watson got, fully guaranteed 230 that Deshaun got, the Ravens haven't offered that. I'm not surprised. Now, you gave the number of 210. I come up with 210 because, as I've said many times, the Kyler Murray deal, which is 230.5, and the guarantee out of the 230.5 was 160.
Correct.
Okay. So if that's the floor and Deshaun Watson is the ceiling, and we can agree that fully guaranteeing the entire 230 from the Cleveland perspective is a desperation move. Yeah. And it should not reflect on what I have to do.
It's
I shouldn't have to match that. Right. They did it because otherwise he was going to Atlanta or maybe New Orleans. Am I right? He was probably going to Atlanta if Cleveland doesn't do that. Because Cleveland, if we remember, was out of the, they were out of the running, and then suddenly we're back in. Why? Because they agreed to go all the way all in on Deshaun. Fine.
Money, 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 money.
It does talk, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Cream. So if I'm Baltimore, all right, I will go right in the middle. So 210 is right in the middle, is it not? Or is the one? It's 180 for. Wait, is it? It's 180 for.
Hold on.
For Kyler. It's 180 for Kyler. It's got to be 180.
I thought it was 160. I thought it was 160 guaranteed for Kyler.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was 160.
Then we're going a little bit lower, under 200. Look, let me just give this number. You could fully guarantee 200 out of the 230, and it'd be very reasonable to do. Would it not?
Yeah. No,
if you're Lamar Jackson and you turn down a fully guaranteed $200 million, that's a you problem. That's on you.
I think Josh Allen got 150. Kyler, I think, got 160. Deshaun... 230. I think
too many, Patrick, I got too many Mahomes. Leagues and too many contracts in my head right now between.
I think Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I know you're right. Kyler was 160.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mahomes was 150, I believe. And I think Patrick Mahomes may have been like 140 something.
Yeah. So would 195 not be dead middle, right? So give me two. So 200.
I had tutors in math. You do the damn math up here asking me. Where's your calculator at on your phone?
Bottom line is just 200. If you fully guarantee 200, are you taking it, Harry Douglas? Or if you're Lamar Jackson, are you saying, you know what, that's fair?
I would have to.
Or are you squeezing 230 out of them?
No, because Steve Brashadi has come on and said that he had an issue with the Haslams giving Deshaun Watson that much money.
I would, too.
But we do
but they
know
did.
That, yeah, because they were desperate, like you mentioned, and they haven't had a quarterback of his caliber in, we could probably say ever, have they?
Who, Cleveland?
Yeah.
Or Cleveland has not had a quarterback, like, yeah, since Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, okay. But he wouldn't even, I wouldn't even put him on Deshaun Watson's level, though.
But you understand my point.
Yeah, I get, yeah, like.
Yeah. Yeah, their quarterback greatness goes back, like you'd have to go then dial it back to probably the
50s. The TVs were black and white?
Correct. Wow. Yeah, and the league was white. So, like, honestly, like, I just think if you're Baltimore, that's your floor, that's your ceiling, that's where you're working. And if you're Lamar and you're turning that down, which, again, we don't know, that's on him. I don't know what's like. I'm never one that says I limit what a player can get. I'm not like that. But I also understand that just because one team did something, it doesn't mean I have to. Now, I'm contradicting something that we've said earlier, right? Yesterday's price, not today's price. Your favorite, one of your favorite sayings.
Yep.
But this is a little different, in my opinion. But you're the player, so you tell me if I'm wrong here. Mm-hmm. But Lamar Jackson, if he's getting 200 guaranteed, he should take it before week one. If the Ravens aren't getting up to that number, though, then I got to question the Ravens. Don't you?
I agree with you 100%. I agree. Because
this guy off the field does nothing wrong. He's an MVP.
He's the face of the franchise, multi-talented player.
There's so much about him that's dynamic, sellable, everything. There's nothing to worry about. He's your guy. So 200 is probably the best, the market price. Because Kyler got 160, and Kyler is not marketable. He is not a likable guy. Like, there's a lot of things about him that you could argue that I'm not quite sure yet if you're that guy. He's talented.
Here's the cherry on top for Lamar Jackson. Last year, they were 8-3.
Yes.
Before he got hurt, they were the number one team in the AFC. Yeah, with everybody
right, with
hurt.
Nobody.
They were 8-3, the best team in the AFC, but he got hurt. And then it went downhill.
So do you feel like him doing this thing on Twitter right here? I know you're saying it's about applying pressure and whatnot, but is it a bad look?
I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think so. But I will say to him, though, like, if it comes to week one, it comes that Friday practice, that walkthrough, or Saturday walkthrough, I don't think I'm going to be able to make the trip, coach. Mr. Bashotti, we better get in here and run some numbers, or I'm going to be having to go on this private jet, on your private jet, to get make it to the game.
Here's the problem. If you're them, you're like, well, we play the Jets. We're all set. You want to say that? Go ahead.
Well, I'm not showing up the rest of the time then.
You know, I mean, that's essentially what that is.
Who? The Jets?
Yeah. Yeah, the Jets.
Jets?
So you're not nearly Jets? As concerned. No, but that's where it is. Like, this drama has played out to a point now where you're going to need some movement, and I'm going to need some information. And Lamar has already made it clear that the Ravens have not met the Deshaun Watson contract that Cleveland gave him. All right, so fine, they have not met that. But how close have they come? And if you're looking for all of that, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because I can't see anyone in the league doing that. For anybody, not even Lamar, no one is going to get all that guaranteed. So we'll see what happens in that situation. But you're right. Right before the first game, it's his move to make. But is he starting to apply pressure now publicly? We're starting to see some things on social media that might suggest.
I'm out like four flats. I'm gone.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. All right, so we were watching Serena last night, but I think starting tonight, Harry Douglas is going to be zeroing in on one series that begins tonight that his team is not involved in but could be affected by. We'll explain next. Bart and Hahn, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Harry Douglas in for Bart today, hanging out with us. Before we get to the series that you're all jacked up about, doesn't even involve your damn team, but you'll be watching with great interest. I want to get into Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, and the race for MVP.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Judge last night hit his 50th home run. Like, he's having still a great season.
Correct.
He's plenty of time for him to break the Yankee record of 61 that Roger Maris set all the way back in 1961. Now, I understand it's not the league record and all that stuff, but it's still in Yankee history. I mean, Yankee history is Yankee history. It's still a big deal for him to do this. It's been that long since a Yankee has been able to reach that milestone. So, and in fact, I mean, he's basically two home runs away from being like the second most home runs. So I don't know. I feel like that's an interesting story. But if you ask Aaron Judge how he feels about hitting his 50th home run while it's still August, the Yankees lost the game.
Just another number. You know, wish we could have came away with a win, but it's just another number.
And that's the right answer, Harry.
Yep.
Because the Yankees have all of a sudden, they look like they were figuring out. Now they've lost three in a row. They're losing to crappy teams, losing to the A's, losing to the Angels. You know, they're back to that again. They're a maddening team. Their lead in the American League East is down to 7 to Tampa and 8 to Toronto. And, by the way, 10 to Baltimore. Hello. So, this team continues to be maddening. And Aaron Judge can't even enjoy this run that he's been on. Now, he hasn't been great either. He's been striking out a lot more lately, chasing that slider. And, you know, he's not the guy that was a big part of why they got off to such a huge start early this season. But is he still the MVP of the American League? I think the numbers tell you he still is. But every time I see Shohei Ohtani, I keep saying to myself, there's nothing like that guy.
Well, you look at a guy like Ohtani, who's leading his team in what, home runs, RBIs, batting average, but then he's a hell of a pitcher. And I think his pitching record would be better if his team wasn't so terrible.
Didn't suck, right?
Like it's like times where he's having like 8-9 Ks and pitching a hell of a game, but then they give up the run once he goes out. That's the reason why his record isn't, you know, better than what it really is. But you look at a guy like Aaron Judge, and at one point, they look unbeatable before All-Star break. And then, you know, a lot of trades, his team just isn't gelling in the right direction.
And now suddenly very beatable. All right, we're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han with you. Harry Douglas in with us today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Yesterday we were talking in this segment. It was like, what you watching tonight? And Serena Williams was the obvious answer. And Serena wins 6-3, 6-3 in her first round match at the U.S. Open. And, I mean, the place was packed. And obviously a lot of pomp and circumstance because you didn't know, would it be the last time we see her in a singles match in a major? And she wins, so we'll see her again tomorrow night. So it'll be must-watch again. Every time she plays, it's going to be must-watch, of course. And so the center of the universe in sports will be Flushing, Queens for that. But not too far away from, literally like a stone's throw, not even a subway stop, in the same town, in the same facility, is Citi Field. And that's also some must-watch because the L.A. Dodgers are in town. They they're the winning 70 winning percentage. Harry, they're 89-38. Are you serious? I got a team 50,
and I'm dancing for
50 wins over 500. It's ridiculous.
But you got to tell the listeners that I'm dancing over here. But you know why I'm dancing, right? Because it's the chances of the Mets losing, and right, the series are very, very high.
Right. So this series with the Mets is a very interesting series on many, many levels. A 3-game series. It begins tonight, and it is a series that for both teams is an interesting look ahead. This series means nothing to the Dodgers. It doesn't.
Nothing whatsoever.
It means it is locked up for them. They are 20 games up in the division. They just want to stay healthy. They want to get healthy. And they want to just cruise into the postseason. Now, the Mets, different story. They have been great. This has been a great season. But your Atlanta Braves, your defending world champion Atlanta Braves.
Thank you. That's how they should be addressed every time people talk about them.
3 games back of the Mets. Putting that pressure on, as we know. And so I think, you know, while you are playing your little series there with the Colorado Rockies, the last place Colorado Rockies, I should have. you have to be telling me that you are going to be tuned in to Dodgers-Mets because opportunity does, you know, await. I mean, you could come back. Even if the Dodgers take 2 out of 3, you could wind
that's
up being
wonderful
just
for the Braves.
A game back. You can be right
it's
there,
wonderful.
And you still have a 3-game series left with the Mets at the end of September.
Exactly. And the road to the last game of the season or the last series of the series is harder for the Braves more so than it is the
yes,
Mets.
It is.
The Mets have a ton of cupcakes
moving
forward, but the Braves are now 3 behind the Mets. And that's important because you want that second best record in the National League because now you wouldn't face the Dodgers in the playoffs until the NLCS, if you make it that far, hypothetically. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to play the Dodgers in round 2. You don't. You just don't. And I understand Walker Buehler, he's hurt. Listen, the Dodgers pitching-wise, they're banged up, right? Walker Buehler, he has to have Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
Tony Gosselin, Clayton Kershaw, he's trying to come back. Mm-hmm. But Anderson has been phenomenal for him this year, 13-2 record. But the Dodgers this series, they don't have to face Max Scherzer. They got to face DeGrom tomorrow, but they don't.
But you
face
have
Max
Anderson,
Scherzer.
But that's the key, though, right? Tonight's Taijuan Walker and Andrew Haney, but Anderson, your ace is right now is going up against the Mets ace in Jacob DeGrom. So that's a good matchup for you because at least you feel like that should be a good one. The last matchup, pitching matchup though, with Thursday night will be Dustin May and Chris Bassett. Bassett's been very good for the Mets this year too, but I mean, again, the reason why the Mets are where they are is because their pitching has been phenomenal. I mean, they have played. Yep. They have been really good. You have the two, like you have the number 1 and number 2 ERA in the league. You have the number two and number one ERA in starters. You have two of the top three bullpens. I mean, this is going to be a pitching matchup, and it's going to be phenomenal. This is National League Baseball.
I need these games. But fuck a harass Jason Williams.
That's why I brought this up, though, because this is not just a big series for the Mets. This is a huge series for your Braves. Certainly something to watch tonight. Harry, my man, always great to hang out with you.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.